You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, remember my admonition. Listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing, unless you can prove it in your own research. And if you cannot, don't believe it. You see, this is the age of deception. And manipulation, deceit, lies are everywhere. The enemies of freedom are chronic liars, in fact. They are the minions of what we know as the great deceiver. So be prepared for an hour of illumination, remembering that you're not even to believe me, not your mother, not your teacher, not your minister, your preacher, your priest, your president, your mayor, or anyone else, unless you can prove it. You see, we have arrived at this position in our lives, in this time, in this century, in this year, and we are in the trouble that we find ourselves in, ladies and gentlemen, and it's getting worse, because we have trusted, we have believed, we have not questioned, we have blindly followed, and that must end now. When you got your eyes upon the skyline, the voice was a proud nation. This is the end of the hatred, glowing arms of the population. Now you, oh you, are being seduced by the greedy hands of politics. By the satellite beams you believe in, what is giving, what is life, maybe worship in the temple of man, or lost in the prisons of religion, but you still walk back to happiness, but you know where left to run. The Christian generation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the midst of a revolution, and we don't even know it. At least some of us don't know it. Our country is on the verge of surrender to forces that have waited many, many years, centuries even, to realize their agenda. Americans who believe that the new Republican majority in the United States Congress was going to achieve revolutionary change have been disappointed, to say the least. Those who thought there would at least be an end to the Democrat-style legislation that has been dictating a social revolution in America for the past four decades are shocked, shocked, as Republicans continue to introduce bill after bill after bill, duplicating the Democrats' plans. Republicans in the Congress abandoned all hope of rewriting key environmental legislation to ensure protection of private property rights. Speaker Gingrich led the Republicans in a chaotic retreat at the very first sign of Democratic opposition, caved in. Property rights be damned. On the matter of federal intrusion of America's classrooms, Republicans again led the charge for more and more massive restructuring, primarily the Careers Act. Only recently, Republicans announced their intentions to work with President Clinton in his massive new education program, as announced in the State of the Union address. You remember that address, don't you? Where he said, "We are watching the sunset and preparing our children for the new dawn." Republicans also have apparently abandoned all intention of abolishing the Department of Education or of repealing Goals 2000, which is destroying the minds of our youth. Americans, true Americans, are concerned and very, very, very disappointed, even angry. They want to know why they've been left out in the cold by their, quote, champions, end quote. Those of us who know the truth know that they're not our champions. They want to know the reasons behind this betrayal, and they want to know the root of the massive restructuring that is devastating their nation. Why does it go on unchecked, and why can't we seem to stop it? During a recent speaking tour of Southern California, Thomas A. DeWeese spoke out on this issue. And I'm going to read you the full text of his address before an audience in Burbank, California, where he was the featured speaker at a dinner sponsored by radio commentator Peter Ford. This took place on April the 27th, 1997. It's very current, ladies and gentlemen. This is his address. Listen carefully. See if this makes sense to you. It makes an awful lot of sense to me. He said this, "I believe that the American people and their every action are being ruled, regulated, restricted, licensed, registered, directed, checked, inspected, measured, numbered, counted, rated, stamped, censured, authorized, admonished, refused, prevented, drilled, indoctrinated, monopolized, extorted, robbed, hoaxed, fined, harassed, disarmed, dishonored, fleeced, exploited, assessed, and taxed to the point of suffocation and desperation. America is today drowning in a sea of rules and regulation, particularly under the guise of saving the environment. Under the flag of this most popular of causes, our industry is being strangled. Our property rights are being obliterated, and innocent victims of these harsh policies litter our courts. Almost anything goes in the name of environmentalism. Many of you have been either the victim of such harsh treatment or have been subjected to the propaganda that sells it to an uninformed public. Many of you have become activists in the cause of American freedom, facing a seemingly unending number of foes threatening all aspects of our society. To many of us, it seems there is no end in sight. perhaps no hope of saving the nation we love so much, and we watch our elected leaders with frustration as they give up one fight after another. My friends, do you know why you are here? Do you know why you had to give up hours, days, months, even years of your lives, spending precious money you cannot afford, enduring stress and heartache just to defend what used to be understood and guaranteed as your right? Once, as Americans, you held the right to ownership of private property, the ability to engage in commerce, the knowledge that you could follow in your father's footsteps for an honorable lifetime career. Your life has been turned upside down. Why? Some of you have lost your farms and ranches. Some have seen your industries devastated. Some represent other industries hoping yet to avoid disaster. Some are victims of unwarranted regulations. Some are victims of the violence of zealots. Some see an even greater danger rising on the international horizon through the United Nations. You seek help. You seek answers. You seek truth. You seek a way home. And so do I. Next year will mark my 30th year in the war against those who say there is no reason, no ability, and no absolutes. 30 years in a war against those who say private property and profit are evil. 30 years in a war against those who have no problem ruling, regulating, and taxing my efforts in order to fill their own pockets, all in the name of the public good. What I've learned in that time is the true nature of the beast I oppose. I've learned his tactics, and I've learned his purpose, and I know from where he came. I've also learned that there are those who profess to hold my values, who proclaim friendship, but who, when the chips are down, can be easiest found breaking bread at the table of my enemies. And as an aside, Mr. DeWeese, I have also found the same circumstances with those who profess to hold my values and who proclaimed friendship with me. And now I return to the article. Winston Churchill once said, "If you don't look the facts in the face, they have a way of stabbing you in the back." In the 1960s, I stood on college campuses opposing those who sought to close down classrooms in the name of a, quote, revolution, end quote. Those who marched professed themselves to be Marxists, Leninists, Trotskyites, and Maoists. Their revolution, they proclaimed, was to give power to the people over evil industry, to replace money and materialism with charity and benevolence for a, quote, common good, end quote. In the name of brotherhood, they used violence and deceit, threw bricks into windows, burned down campus buildings, incited riots, and spit on soldiers returning from Vietnam. Most Americans considered these self-proclaimed revolutionaries to be little more than spoiled kids exercising youthful energy and natural rebellion. Their advocacy of communism in the most free of all nations fell on deaf ears. By the early 70s, though a few had gone underground to form terrorist units like the Weathermen, most were forgotten as they went on with their lives. What does all this have to do with environmental policy of the 1990s? What do a bunch of forgotten campus rebels have to do with the livelihoods of ranchers in Nevada, Arizona, or loggers in Oregon, or fishermen in California, or international treaties coming out of the United Nations? My friends, the answers to your pain and suffering can be found from the moment these revolutionaries left their college campuses. I have in my possession a book published in the 1970s. It is a compilation, a scrapbook, if you will, of the writings of the New Left that appeared in the radical underground newspapers produced during the revolution. The title is The Movement Toward a New America, The Beginnings of a Long Revolution. You see, those who drove the revolution of the 60s, the true believers, were dedicated to a lifelong struggle. And what are some of the ravings we find in this document of revolution? You will find the beginnings of modern feminism. You will find attacks on the family structure and marriage. You will find the roots of education restructuring, the beginning of outcome-based education, and the advocacy of the use of psychological behavior modification teaching methods, now standard in public education, and you will find the roots of modern environmentalism. In 1969, host Dick Cavett aired his regular network talk show featuring a number of rock stars, including Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Jefferson Airplane. These stars of their day had just returned from performing at the historic Woodstock Rock Festival. That concert was to go down in history as the defining moment of the revolution. Here, the anti-war movement finally took hold. Here, the anti-poverty movement became social revolution. Here, the drug culture took on an identity. But what was on the minds of these rockers just after such a monumental event? Toward the end of the program, Cavett asked his guests if any of them would like to say something that they never had the opportunity to say on TV before. Immediately, David Crosby leapt at the chance and said, "We all know the air around us is filthy. But the only way to change that is to convince Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, and Shell to go out of business." Ladies and gentlemen, did you think that environmentalism was something that cropped up only in the last decade or so? The first to see the opportunities of using environmentalism to promote otherwise discredited Marxist-Leninist philosophy were some anti-nuke activists who changed their name to Greenpeace. The green represented the new propaganda direction. The peace kept the faith with the old. As for the rest of the street gangs, they went to work. But while you and I found jobs in the private sector, or followed in our parents' footsteps, or started our own businesses, the revolutionaries went into public service. They joined the offices of public defenders, staffed government social service offices, and worked in congressional local political offices using their position to create subtle changes in legislation and policy. Some went to work for charitable foundations like Ford, Rockefeller, and Pew, thereby gaining access to the purse strings and how the money would be spent. They hired onto respected and trusted institutions like the Smithsonian Institute, National Geographic, even the Cancer Society and the Lung Association. Of course, they went into the news media. Oh, how they went into the news media and entertainment fields, and some even ran for public office. All of these positions, ladies and gentlemen, filled a specific purpose to influence public policy and attitudes. There were also those who went to work for multinational corporations, facing accusations at the time of selling out. But now, folks, it's been over 25 years. The young Turk revolutionaries have turned gray, balding, and plump. And by now, most of our government agencies, social services, news media, entertainment centers, institutions, charitable agencies, colleges, and multinational corporations are run by those who once marched in the street and pledged to lead a long revolution toward a new America. Are you now surprised that our nation is going through a massive Marxist socialist restructuring? Are you surprised that our schools no longer teach the ideals of what was once a capitalist society? Are you surprised that American history is being changed and patriotism is considered a relic of the past, even evil? The truth you must now face is that the rules and regulations that so unreasonably have forced Americans out of their homes and jobs have absolutely nothing to do with saving the environment and everything to do with those slogans that were chanted in the nation's streets in the 1960s. You have become the victims of a revolution to turn American society upside down. First and foremost is the drive to destroy the concept of private property. You see, those who seek to rule and regulate your every action know that without the right to own and control property, there can be no peace or security, no rule of law. Without property rights, no other rights are possible. Without property rights, no other rights are possible. How do you break down a society? You eliminate property rights. Why is crime rampant? Well, because first, government sanctioned the right to take property from individuals through rules and regulations and through lawsuits and public opinion. Once the concept was established, it was easy for the third-rate thugs on every street corner to follow suit. Your daddy can do it, why can't I? Is the rationale. But one doesn't take the greatest industrial society on earth and turn it into a collectivist gulag overnight. For a peaceful revolution to succeed, the perpetrators first need the sanction of the victim. Rape me! They need you to voluntarily give up your property, your wealth, and your liberty. Open adherence to the ideals of Marxism-Leninism didn't do it. They needed something else. The threat of danger is a good tool. The greater the threat, the less the objection to giving up liberties. Worldwide environmental Armageddon became the plan of choice. And so it began. Rape me! Faced with the threat of global warming that would melt the polar ice caps and flood the world, the victims voluntarily gave up vital technological development that would have saved us labor and increased the quality of life. Industry accepted regulations that forced it to spend millions to create unnecessary technology. Faced with the unfounded charge that uncounted and unknown species were supposedly vanishing, the alarmed public supported regulations that shut down timber and mining. Ozone holes, acid rain, dolphin-safe fishing became the mantra, driven by a hysteria plotted at the level of 12-year-old girls in a pet shop, pleading with the shop owner to let the poor little animals out, please, let the poor little animals out. And as the propaganda mill poured out one unsubstantiated horror story after another, science was bastardized to fit the political agenda. Reason and truth were not necessary. So successful has the campaign been to replace reason and knowledge with blind emotion and Pavlovian adherence to environmental propaganda, the victims voluntarily accept the premise that it's okay for a beaver to build a dam, but not for man. It's okay for a bear to hunt, but not for man. It's okay for a lion to eat meat, but not for man. It's okay for a bear to attack a child, in the wilderness, but not for the father to shoot the bear to save the child's life. And now the hysteria over unsubstantiated environmental disaster has grown so strong that the stage has been set for international forces to step in via the United Nations. Sovereign nations, they say, can't be trusted to take care of these problems on their own. And so it goes. The hysteria created by bogus science has been sold to a once proud nation using all of the outlets manned by those old revolutionaries of the 60s. The media pounds out the message that man is a cancer on the earth. The schools fail to tell their children that trees can actually be replanted like a corn crop. The Smithsonian Institute carries an exhibit on the ravages of global warming. The Cancer Society leads the fight, to ban the right of smoking. America will ban smoking in this country in the next few years. That is only a trial run, which will eventually see the banning of cars and the banning of private property, and that will soon follow. All of it is the propaganda necessary to gain the sanction of the victims. All is designed to get you to question your own selfishness and arrogance for thinking you could grow crops, or harvest trees for profit, or that you had a right to put fences around property that you bought and paid for. Just weeks ago, 39 people took their lives because they believed that their souls would travel on a spaceship that was following behind a comet. We called them nuts. So what do you call an entire nation that voluntarily surrenders its property, liberty, and national identity based on unproven theories and proven lies? Think about that. Is this you?
But if they do,
The green agenda, ladies and gentlemen, has invaded every aspect of our society. The implementation of the new driving force of the environmental agenda called sustainable development involves every agency of the federal government and is seeping into state and local agencies. It affects how our housing is built. What crops to grow, the foods we eat, the medicines we can take, and the industries that can and cannot survive. It is in our schools, in the workplace, and at our social gatherings. Sustainable development covers much more, ladies and gentlemen, than environmentalism. To be truly sustainable, we are told, our society must also consider social justice and equality. Sustainable development is nothing more than the culmination of the entire agenda first devised in the streets by unwashed revolutionaries. And of course, that's not where it was first devised, ladies and gentlemen. This is clearly the derivation of Marxist-Leninist policy, which was implemented in the creation of the Soviet Union. It has been taught in communist meeting halls and socialist literary guilds since the very concept was developed, and before that, in the communism of the secret societies and orders of the Knights Templars, the Assassins, and many other that go back to the beginning of the dawn of the history of the human race. All clearly traceable, all clearly socialism and communism. And today, we're granting them their agenda, almost voluntarily. Certainly out of a tremendous amount of ignorance and a great deal of unwarranted emotion. You and I, that is you and I, if in fact you have been active, have stood in the way. We have argued using reason, and logic. We have argued using reason and logic. But the task grows more difficult with each passing day. Some leaders in our movement have begun to question our own ideals. Some of our strongest leaders in the Republican-led Congress have begun to seek common ground with the other side. We're told that we can't mention environmentalism as a negative, that we need a new Republican environmental vision with which to lock arms with our enemies in hopes of finding peace in our time. You know, there was another time in our history when the forces of freedom doubted its ability to survive. In 1939, Adolf Hitler and his Nazis, read socialists, were taking the world by storm. A great deal of Europe had already fallen under its power. There were pro-Nazi rallies taking place in Madison Garden in New York City. There were pro-Nazi movements on the march in South America and South Africa. To many of the leaders in the free nations of the world, it seemed that Hitler's nightmare was a done deal, that there was no way to stop it. These men were diplomats who made deals based on the fad of the day and on the meandering whims of the public. They knew nothing of the meaning of liberty or the principle of property. These men thought they could deal with the devil, even though the devil knew that they stood for nothing but the deal, that there was no line that could not be crossed. And so, when Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of the once powerful British Empire, derby and black umbrella in hand, flew onto Adolf Hitler's turf to negotiate for mercy in hopes of getting some sort of deal that would allow the free nations to survive in a world controlled by cold-blooded brutes, Hitler smiled, invited him to sit at his table, and signed such an agreement. As Chamberlain told the cheering crowds that he had achieved peace in our time, Hitler was attacking Poland. And Chamberlain let him do it, because to do otherwise would have cost him his place at the table. So today, ladies and gentlemen, you and I face a similar crossroads. We see our enemies on all sides. We have experienced few victories, and we also have some leaders among us in the Congress, in our state houses, and even in county and local offices who say we have no choice but to compromise, find mutual ground, don't rock the boat, above all, appear reasonable to get a place at the table with the big boys. To continue to fight, they say, will only be divisive against reasonable negotiations. My friends, had Winston Churchill accepted Neville Chamberlain's view of the world, you and I would probably not be here today discussing property rights, for there would be none. Instead of wringing his hands and crying for mercy, Churchill told his countrymen, "There will be no more compromise." He said, "We shall fight them on the land, on the sea, and in the air." He said the enemy would only take his tiny island of England when all of us lay on the shore choking on our own blood. He vowed a fight to the finish. His enemy threatened to change his world forever, and so does ours. We are not engaged in a political debate, ladies and gentlemen. This is war. We face a dedicated, revolutionary foe who cares not one whit about your wants, needs, or rights. Just simply does not care. Crime is rampant. The core of our cities, once vibrant and alive with men who understood that man's progress was his greatest achievement, are now slipping into silent decay. Vital services are beginning to break down. Crowded roads are breaking up into ruts and potholes. Is this the result of men entrusted with too much freedom? Or is it the result of the looter mentality of those who loathe industry and technology? Our great factories of the Northeast lie in rusting ruins. Is this the result of capitalism run amok? Or is it the result of modern-day Robin Hoods who seek to drain the wealth out of the producer and give it to the sniveling whiners who believe our duty on earth is to give them an unearned living? How can America protect the environment if it is turned into a poor and primitive third world society. Such is the philosophy of death. Is this the compromise they seek? Bet your life it is. Only man's forward motion, with the constant emergence of technology, along with the guaranteed protection of property rights, will create the sound, safe, peaceful society that we were all promised and which we all seek. It was our inheritance as the posterity of the founders of this once great nation. And yes, you heard it right, once great nation, for we are in a great fall, falling from grace, if you will, and from prominence and from greatness. Turning backwards to the days before Christopher Columbus, as radical environmentalists advocate, is an insanity that should be laughed out of the hall whenever it is uttered. Yet that is the root of the philosophy that some of our most trusted Republican leaders seek to compromise with. It's amazing. True science, real science, proves that their chicken little horror stories are unfounded. True science proves that man is the hero, not the cancer of the earth. True science proves that man's technology and man's stewardship of privately owned land is the only real environmental protection. Why compromise truth? Why accept a lie? There is no compromise for property, liberty, or truth. Not now, not ever. It's time to face facts. It's time to understand your enemy. It's time to take a firm stand. It's time to go on the offensive, to speak the truth and expose the lies. The truth is the radical environmental movement has declared war on your property, war on your livelihood, war on your families, and war on the truth and logic, and it has nothing to do with the environment. It has everything to do with bringing about a one-world totalitarian socialist world. How will you fight back? By seeking some common ground? Really? By using the non-confrontational tactics employed by Republican leaders in Congress who say it's not politically feasible to take on the environmental issues? Voters might not understand, they say. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Jefferson trying to hide the fact that his real purpose was liberty? I know, he could have said, let's just tell them we don't like tea. We can only win the hearts and minds of the American people by telling them the truth. The truth. The truth. The truth is, we started with ownership of the land. They said there is no such thing as private property. We started with the means of production. They have regulated our production almost out of existence. We started with sound stewardship of the range and the forest. They've kicked us off, and the land suffers for it. Competition, technology, and private ownership are the foundations of sound environmental protection and the basis of our very society. Which ones will you give up? Which ones will you compromise away in the name of some undefined higher good? And what is that higher good? I haven't been able to find it yet. Have you? As I said in the beginning, this is not a political debate or a difference of opinion. This war is not something new. It began in the streets of America during a time when some very dedicated radicals, carrying the slogans of Mao and Lenin, sought to change our nation to all that those slogans represented through deceit, lies, and manipulation. America rejected it then. You are the freedom fighters who must lead the charge to reject it now. No one else in this nation understands, as you do, the vicious, violent reality of the restructuring these revolutionaries are perpetrating on the nation we all love so much. But you cannot win unless you are willing to face the truth. What truth will you face? That of science, fact, and reason, or the vicious lies of green zealots? We are dangerously close to the day when David Crosby's vision of 1969 comes true. Dangerously close to that day. When businesses actually begin to contemplate putting themselves out of business for the higher good of saving the environment. Isn't that truly what Exxon and Weyerhaeuser and McDonald's are doing when they compromise with the Greens without requiring scientific proof? Aren't their actions actually limiting their markets, and isn't that the first act of voluntarily putting themselves out of business? And on the day when such attitudes become commonplace, it will be the day of the ultimate sanction of the victim, you. And we will have taken the full journey to the revolution. And when the lights go out in the greatest nation on earth, when the wilderness creeps back in, will you fall enlightened or just cold, hungry, and betrayed? It is the time. The decision of whether there will be betrayal or truth is yours. Now whom, ladies and gentlemen, do you follow into battle? Whom do you follow into battle? The Neville Chamberlains who will sacrifice you to the Hitlers of the world, or the warriors who fight for truth, reason, and liberty? This is still the greatest nation on earth. We are still a long way from losing it, but the forces of freedom must hurry. We must organize and unite for our greatest battles. Together, if we stand vigilant, if we speak the truth and don't try to hide it in some hidden or politically correct doublespeak, if we stand by our principles because they are right, we can and we will take America back.
Sentence me to 20 years of boredom. For trying to change the system from within. I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. I'm guided by a signal in the heavens. I'm guided by the birthmark on my skin. I'm guided by the beauty of our weapons. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take my limbs. You're worried that I just might win. You know the way to stop me, but you don't have the discipline. How many nights I prayed for this to let my work begin. But we take Manhattan, then we take Berlin.
Listen to this socialist, ladies and gentlemen. He knows what he's talking about. He tells you the truth, but you don't listen to it. But your children do.
And I don't like these drugs that keep you thin. I don't like what happened to my sister. But we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Thank you for those items that you sent me. The monkey and the plywood violin. I practice every night. Now I'm ready. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Now remember me, I used to live for music. Remember me, I brought your groceries in. Well, it's Father's Day and everybody's wounded. But we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you. Thank you.
been watching you for ages. Like a boat without a mast, stripping the tide of destiny between the future and the past. I am a lifeboat.
This is the Voice of Freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be, 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled programming, All Oldies, Most of the Time. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be, only right here on 101.1 FM, Eager.